It's the show.
That's a very dangerous statement to make.
What?
I want to do it.
It depends what we're talking about.
10 seconds in the show, it's already in the ditch.
This is Ian and Scott from Politicoast.
And we took a left at the valley.
I know we shouldn't have to scream that we're atheists. You know, we don't have non-astrologers and all that. But with the religious people taking over the world, I mean, we can either speak up or be pushed into a corner.
I'm proud to be an atheist, a skeptic, a non-believer, an infidel, a heathen. I call it how I see it. I say it's ignorance and you just call it faith. And unsubstantiated claims, that's something to be ashamed. I'm an atheist.
Coming at you from Secret Lair BC, this is Left of the Valley. My name is Kevin, and my personal motto is, if at first you don't succeed, so much for skydiving. Joining me as usual is the team that invested in Mama's Boy's apartment, and they renamed him the Oedipus Complex.
The Oedipus? Oedipus?
Oedipus Complex.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
She got caught scalping low numbers at the deli counter, Nancy.
Yes, I did. Yes, sir. What did I do?
Scalping low numbers on the deli counter.
Oh, yes, I did. That's me. That's me all over.
And he has the heart of a lion, and we think you should give it back to the zoo, Scott.
No.
How could you, Scott? God. It better not be Cecil's. Better not be Cecil the Lions.
His name was Rutledge, but...
Her dog used to chase people on a bicycle, and so she had to take the pooch's bike away.
Oh. It was a schnauzer. It was very talented.
I feel like if a dog could figure that out, it would be a schnauzer.
Yep.
And she states that the difference between snowmen and snow women are snowballs. Kirsten.
Yes.
That's snowfair.
Oh.
To make a comment like that. Oh, boy. What a great way to start the show. Guys, welcome back.
It's good to be here.
We're going to have a great show today. Today, we're going to be talking to Thomas Smith of Serious Inquiries Only. It's going to be actually our last interview of the year. Because after that, we have our Christmas show, and then we finish the year with the...
It's honestly because we can't follow up with anything better than that.
Where did this year
It would be
go?
Doing
Seriously?
Disservice to the next
it
person.
It just flew right by.
If you blinked, you missed it.
Absolutely, absolutely. 27 was gone by real fast. They say life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get towards the end, the faster it spins.
That's very apt.
So, yeah, it is.
So
up,
poetic. This morning really starts us off on a
Kevin, poetry.
Kevin's
first thing in the
waxing
morning.
Poetic.
Snowballs and toilet paper and all right, we're all good. But first, let's do a bit of chit chat. So it turns out Alabama decided to vote with a bit of reason.
Yes.
And elected Democrat Doug Jones.
Fuck
who
yeah.
Who won the Senate seat. There was a few thousand votes and a low turnout, which made the difference. So now the Senate used to be 52-48. Now it's going to be 51-49.
Yeah.
Wow. If they ever get him certified so he can get in there, because, you know, no surprise.
They will.
Secretary of State of the...
Mitch McConnell said he wouldn't.
Yeah, but the thing is, the political... atmosphere of the United States right now, people aren't going to put up with shit anymore.
I don't know. I think they are putting up with a lot of shit.
They're
throwing their hands up in despair now.
Yeah.
The inmates are running the asylum.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, of course, I couldn't help but laugh because when I saw candidate Moore arrive on a horseback to vote.
Okay, can I just talk about this, please?
By all means.
As someone who... has been riding horses since I was a very young child.
He's not very good, is he?
He is a horrible, horrible horseback rider. First off, he's riding Western with two hands. That's not how you ride Western. You ride with one hand. Also, he doesn't know how to turn a horse. The horse was like, what the F are you doing to my face? It's called light hands. You don't have to like yank me all the... like. He is so
Isn't
bad.
Isn't it called you're supposed
also,
to use your legs?
Also, when he's riding, his legs are way in front of him. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to have your legs under you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, the best part of that was horse Twitter coming out. And,
Horse Twitter.
Yeah, horse Twitter. It was amazing.
A horse got on Twitter? Was
no, it was
with
it was everybody who's like me and loves horses being like, excuse me, learn how to freaking ride a horse.
Well, it was all about putting the image of he's a wild cowboy, man.
Yeah.
He rides a horse.
The funny thing is, that's probably what clinched the like 20% of white women who didn't vote for him was probably because of that.
He can't ride a horse.
He
rides a horse exactly the way he presents himself in life.
A horse's ass.
That's right.
first volley this morning goes to Scott.
I really hope he and his lovely wife, Kayla, I hope they both just fade away into the distance. But they'll get the diehards that, that still are.
Well,
has he conceded yet?
No, he hasn't. We'll talk about it a bit later. We'll talk about it. And, of course, I got to give kudos to the African-American population.
Oh, my gosh, there,
that actually came out.
The
and
women.
They
made,
yeah, specifically the women.
98% of
women. Wow.
The black women totally.
And they made up, I think, 17%. The black women made up 17% of the people who voted.
So it does make a difference when you go
for those people. The percentage of black individuals who voted in the Alabama Senate race was more than came out for Trump, Obama.
For the presidential, yeah.
Yeah, and they overcame all of the attempts of suppression, the voter IDs, the restricted times to register to vote, everything that this new Secretary of State has done to prevent black people from voting because he thinks voting shouldn't be easy, they threw in his face and won it, which I think is perfect justice for this man, for Moore to be defeated by the people that he's tried to suppress.
He has a hard time believing that God let him down. Yeah. Right? And, I got to give kudos to Alabama voters for doing that, but at the same time, don't rest on your laurels. It came very, very close here.
Oh, disgustingly close.
And you almost voted the freaking pedophile in the Senate.
So, how does that happen? How do people not realize?
It was white people. I'm sorry. It was white old people.
Yeah, it totally was. Evangelical Christians.
So it's okay that he's a pedophile.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, the thing is, they don't believe the reports.
There was even a sign that went on viral on Facebook, a sign on the church that says, vote Roy Moore because they persecuted Jesus too.
Yep.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, if Jesus was a pedophile, maybe they should have persecuted him.
Well, he did say, come up to me, little children, didn't he?
Well, it's a start. I mean, if the Republican Party ever gets around to being the Republican Party, historically, the conservatives rather than the party of Trump, Alabama will probably go right back to being Republican. But it's a start.
Time will tell.
Well, and another reason the Republican didn't win in this case was solely because it was Moore. Like, if it was a different Republican who didn't have all this crazy shit about them,
they would have won.
Hands down, that Republican would have won. It was just the perfect storm in this case.
Listen to you go, girl.
Did you guys hear about this?
Hung over me.
Miss political.
Okay, you don't understand how entrapped, how much I was, invested in this Alabama race.
You really don't.
I was, at work. At 5 o'clock, starting to every 30 seconds, check the results and be like, okay. Exactly. I came home and I was crying when I realized that Roy Moore wasn't gonna win. I literally started crying. Okay.
Remember, on the way home, we talked on the phone and you said,
I warned Kirsten that I'm either gonna be crying because Roy Moore won, or I'm crying because he did it. And Alabama isn't horrible.
Yeah, it was a nail biter. It really was a nail biter till almost the end.
Okay, did you guys hear about this viral video of a bullied kid? His name is Kenton Jones. He's 11.
I did.
He's from Tennessee. It's a pointy little video that went viral. Kenton basically talks to his mother, who's filming this. He basically complains how kids have been mean to him. They've been had milk poured on him. And for some weird reason, the mom decided to film this and post it on Facebook. Then celebrities came out. They came out and they tried to support the poor little Kenton. Sports figures, action heroes and all that. They kind of rallied to him. And even Mark Hamill, even Luke Skywalker, posted on Twitter and stuff like that. Say, hey, we support you, blah, blah, blah. And then there was a crowdfunding page that was open, and $60,000 were actually donated for Kenton's education. But then also people started looking at the family and find out that the dad was a white supremacist. There are a whole bunch of pictures of the family with the Confederate flag. And then some kids started coming out, apparently, with some accusation that Kenton was actually the instigator and was bullying other kids, calling them niggers and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
So, this is going to... I don't know what to say about this story. I mean, people jump to this kid's defense right away, but there might be more to the story than meets the eye.
They might have kind of jumped the gun there?
Maybe. Yeah. But either way, I feel bad for the kid. Even if the let's say the accusations against him are true, I feel bad for the kid because he's
how old is he again?
11.
See, for
he's
me,
in the middle of a shitstorm.
I for anyone who is like, oh well, look at this kid's parents, like they're horrible. Like sins of a father should not be on the kid. So like that is a stupid argument. But I think the fact that there's a possibility that he was being mean to other kids, mm-hmm. then he should probably look at his own words and be like, okay, maybe. Maybe I shouldn't be mean to other people.
Well, I don't know, but I feel bad for Kendall because I don't know which kind of lesson he's going to come out of this.
Yeah, I hope that he, hopefully he sees people's reaction to the possibility that he was also a bully and be like, okay, that isn't good. Maybe I shouldn't do that. But I definitely think the money that's been donated for his education should still go to his education.
Yeah.
Because...
Well...
Like it doesn't.
I have problems with that because this poor kid's got to live with the stigma of what is of the controversy around this video. And
but
if that's where
is,
the money came
the
from.
The thing is, this video is going to go out of the people's minds in like 2 days. Honestly, people are going to forget about it.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, they're pretty fickle.
I kind of want to give Kenton the benefit of a doubt that he was the victim.
Yeah, he's also 11.
Time, he's 11.
He's
exactly.
11. The thing is, when you're 11, you aren't thinking for yourself very much. If his parents are saying this stuff, if his parents are telling him that, oh, like, black people are like this, like, horrible people, then he's going to have the same actions. But hopefully with all these people coming out, and like around the like internet community and being like showing him different points of view, hopefully he might realize, okay, maybe my parents are wrong. So yeah,
I doubt it at age 11, but
yeah,
it's
but the thing is, it might plant seeds that will grow and show themselves when he's like 15.
Either way, let's hope that poor little Kenton grows up to be a good man, and that's all we can really hope for.
You're an optimist too. Paying for his education might help him get out of that situation he's in right now.
Exactly.
I think that's the key.
Because education is very important in getting people
huzzah!
Out of
like, a man of quality.
Bad situations.
Exactly. Okay, moving on. Did you guys hear that scientists have discovered an eighth planet orbiting Kepler-90?
Okay, I was about to be like,
Not this solar system.
So that makes it the same number of planets that
we
orbiting
have.
Us.
No, we have nine.
No,
I'm joking.
No.
I know.
You have to understand our generation, Scott.
We were in the generation where they murdered Pluto, okay?
They've Pluto.
Pluto was a planet
Pluto'd.
My entire life.
That's actually a word in the dictionary now. You've been Pluto'd.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Our generation,
so
90s kids, Pluto is
this,
like,
new planet that makes the same count as our solar system. Do they have similar placement away from their sun?
Well, let me finish this. Actually, the Kepler-90 is about 2,500 light years away, and the system was discovered in 2013. Now, this planet apparently would be 30% larger than Earth. It would be rocky, would have no atmosphere.
Okay.
And apparently it's boiling 427 degrees Celsius on the surface.
Woo-hoo.
But the funny thing is, a year on this planet is only 14.4 days.
Holy shit, that thing's moving
fast.
It spins
pretty fast.
That's circling its sun pretty fast.
And it's also probably pretty close,
and
if it's so hot.
Closer than Mercury.
Yeah.
The great thing about it is they used AI to recognize signs of the planet crossing the star, because that's how they do it, right? And so they have a whole bunch of data, and they use an AI and artificial intelligence
to
pick up the pattern. And now they think by using more AI like that, they'll be able to discover more and more planets out there. Okay, we got to talk about this. The FCC in the States voted against net neutrality to a 3-2 vote.
Can we just flip a table, guys? Where's the table? I need to flip a table.
Just when you think you've reached a new low in the Trump administration, something else says, oh my God, let's go back to the good old days of last week when it wasn't this bad.
You can't handle the truth.
How true it is.
Good man.
So now, for people that might not understand this, what this means is now, by repealing those laws, companies, providers like Comcast, will have the right to what they call throttle the feed, which means essentially they can decide to accelerate your feed or slow it down depending how much you pay.
Yep. And can they do it on both ends? Like,
and depending on what content you want to pay for.
Yeah.
That's right. And
so if you don't want to pay for, if you don't want to pay $10 extra for Netflix and YouTube, you're just Out of luck.
Well, think of why
it's going to be a slower feet.
Think of why everyone's cutting the cable here in Canada and in the States. They're cutting cable because cable companies have been operating like this since their inception. That, well, we'll give you 25 channels, but the 25 channels are going to have garbage, 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 one sports channel, one movie channel, and garbage.
Don't forget the guy channel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you're going to pay for that. And that's what these companies are going to start doing. And they have the right to do it now. Because before, it was like a telephone line. Now it's going to be like a cable connection.
Right? What's the head of the... I forgot the name of the head of the FCC.
I figure he's been bought and paid for. Well, they're not elected, right? They're appointed.
By all of the corporations to where he doesn't have to lift a finger for the rest of his life. They've really bought his soul down to its core. However, they're going to be sued, so we'll have to see whether any of this gets into...
actual law.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the thing is people get into this. The internet is not like the phone system. The phone system used a central exchange that, and that's the way they run the internet right now. But the internet does not have to run that way. The beautiful thing about the internet is they have what they call mesh systems. You can have Wi-Fi, citywide Wi-Fi, that literally there's no owner.
Oh my gosh! Can we have this?
Well, yeah, you can. But it involves investing in the equipment and then having people who know how to run it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, look, job creator.
And then all you need is a connection out to the different things that you want to connect to. Yes, you're going to have to pay these guys for that, but you're not going to have to pay to get to the local library. You're not going to have to. It's free. Mm-hmm. It's a mesh system. There's options out there.
Are there anywhere that has a mesh system yet?
Some cities are starting to install them.
That's awesome.
Kevin, you advocated for citywide.
I always have citywide
Wi-Fi. Yeah,
more citywide. I think it should be nationwide.
And that's what they're starting to push for. There's cities down in the States who have realized that most of their population is poor.
Mm-hmm.
Think of cities like Chicago, Detroit. Yeah. Most of the population is poor. They can't afford these internet connections. So what they're doing is they're providing the equipment. If you have a laptop, you can hook up to the city Wi-Fi, the mesh, and you can get to the library. You can get to city services. You can get to government services. No problem at all. Free. Mm-hmm. That's what's... You're going to see these companies.
Cool.
They're going to and right now, everyone's gone to the internet because the cable companies are screwing them.
Yeah, totally.
Well, when the internet starts screwing them, guess what's going to happen?
They're going to create a new system.
It's going to create a new system. People are just not going to stand for it. And they're going to...
It's not
the end of everything. And net neutrality only... This vote only affects the traffic that goes through the United States.
Well, one of the things I think they're going to get sued for is the fact that in the comment section where people could say, yes, I'm in favor of net neutrality, or no, I oppose it, it's millions of fraudulent accounts were used so that people who... actually held those accounts said, wait a minute, I never said I was against net neutrality. I think there are a lot of, I don't know whether it's the attorneys general for some of the states, but they're also looking into the fraudulent comments that may or may not have affected the decision, but the decision was already made by...
Oh, yeah, for sure. Heads. I mean, I think I saw a stat that said 83% of all Americans were against the... against this idea, and they still went ahead and did it.
I mean, these people, I say these people, that's an awful way to start a sentence, but most of the people on Trump's cabinet don't care. They're in those positions to destroy as much as they can, put as much in their pockets, and get the hell out of there before there's a revolt.
If you're wondering, the on the Canadian side, the minister Nadeep Bains, he's our minister that takes care of anything that's internet related.
Okay.
He said it was negative for the economy and democracy to do that.
Yeah.
Canadian government right now stands on the side of no, we're not going to follow.
But are they actually going to do anything about it?
Well,
hopefully.
Our internet shouldn't really change all that much here in the country.
Well, wait for it. Our internet's going to get more expensive because a lot of our traffic utilizes the trunks that these big American companies provide. Because our internet providers are too cheap to build the infrastructure in Canada.
Yeah.
So we route our traffic down through the States, through Viacom, through Comcast, through whoever else is providing internet.
And they are.
And we buy their
trunk
space.
They aren't going to be like, oh, well, it's from Canada.
Yeah, they're not
going
to be nice
about
it. They're going
to
say, well, you can provide services from us or go pound salt.
And to put this in context for our American listeners, those of us here in Canada pay an average just for internet service around $65 to $70 a month.
Yeah. And then adding anything extra, it brings it into the hundreds.
Well, that's Canadian money, so that's worth about
$10-$15 US. That's not for high speed.
No, that's for the normal.
Top of the,
Canada is expensive. We should actually do a show on that, actually.
Yeah, we should.
Speaking of government, our Canadian government reacting differently, you remember when we talked about last week, we talked about Jerusalem? Americans recognizing Jerusalem as the capital. Well, our prime minister decided to react and decided to reject the approach Trump came in. And he says, no, we favor a two-state solution, and the embassy is going to stay at Tel Aviv.
Nice.
So the Canadian government, because I was kind of concerned about that, the Canadian government has a tendency to follow the U.S. Shortly after, but the PM decided to resist that. Speaking of Jerusalem and the holy cities, did you guys hear about the, you know that little city, it's called Nazareth? You guys know the city?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard of it.
No, it has nothing to do with the street. No, sorry. That's just the group Nazareth. Well, the little city of Nazareth, which is actually mostly Muslim, has canceled Christmas this year.
Really? Oh,
yes.
So many people must have flipped
Nazareth
their shit.
Nazareth canceled Christmas.
Nazareth canceled Christmas
I'd
because
like to know how
Trump
canceled Christmas
because of Trump's decision towards Jerusalem.
Okay.
This is the mayor Ali Salam. They have a festival. They have a Christian Christmas festival there every year because Nazareth is very important to Christians.
Yeah.
And it brings in a lot of money, a lot of thousands of pilgrims every year. And the mayor this year, because Nazareth today is mostly Muslim, the mayor decided, no, we're done with this.
Oh,
we're not
my
doing
gosh.
This Christmas thing this year.
Okay,
the fallout from every decision that Trump makes is I don't know how we're going to be able to measure that, and I don't know how we're going to be able to recover from it. It's just
that's true.
Yeah,
you'll never know. We'll be talking about this forever.
Yeah.
Yep. It's so weird thinking that this is going to be part of the history books.
But if you're a historian.
Like, there's going to be a whole course on the Trump administration.
Yeah, I think the historians and the commentators and the pundits are the only ones who are really enjoying this because it's continually, you know, fuel to the fire.
See, I can't wait to be 140 years old because I'm assuming by then the technology is going to be good enough to keep me there. And they're going to say, what was it like to live under, you know, the Trump administration?
Oh, I remember those days.
I could see it. First, get off my lawn.
I was just a baby at age 140.
Yeah, well,
come on
yeah,
now.
Nancy.
You got to raise your sights.
Nancy will still
bit
be running circles around all of us because. Okay. You guys also hear this is, thank you for the story, Nancy. This is the CDC, the Center for Disease Control.
This is ridiculous.
Apparently, the Trump administration has told them they're not allowed to use the word vulnerable, entitlement, diversity, transgender, fetus, evidence-based, or science-based.
Okay, like, when you told me they weren't allowed to use scientific words, that's not what I was expecting. I was expecting much more complicated words than
those.
No.
These are like...
Like science-based.
Science-based. They're not allowed to use the
word
science.
Can you use it if there isn't the hyphen between them?
I don't know.
Can you do based on science?
You don't think his evangelical base said anything?
No, not at all. Of course not.
Yeah.
Christians. Why would Christians have an influence on
that? Bad science.
How can they... Well, I know how they can because they do.
Because Christians love fetuses.
I don't understand how this can actually be accepted by the CDC, and they can just roll over and say, okay, we'll play.
The CDC hasn't quite reacted yet. But I think they will. But
they're
you
political
remember,
masters.
Remember when Harper was here, he started doing something very similar.
Yes, he did.
Towards the environment. And then, of course, we had this march for science that happened in Canada as well. So I don't know. We might see another kind of protest. You have to protest for science.
It wasn't too much longer after that that there was no longer a Stephen Harper prime minister.
Yeah. So, wow. It's absolutely amazing.
I don't know what the law
is. The Center for Disease Control. I mean, you can't use science-based. The Center for Disease Control.
We need them for when the zombie outbreak happens, guys.
I know what they can say now.
I don't know how much influence a government recommendation of outright censorship can actually, be accepted by the scientists.
I've heard this before. This comes from This comes from ancient history, no? But it would sound something like this. We at the CDC have identified a new virus, and through God's grace, we know that this is probably a bad thing.
Oh, my God.
And the evangelicals will enjoy that. They'll say, well, the God says it's bad, so we've got to deal with it.
Give me 50 cc's of Jesus, stat.
Oh, my gosh.
Through God's grace, we've identified this virus.
Speaking of viruses, did you guys hear, apparently there's a Canadian doctor that says there actually might be something to the man flu.
What?
Yes.
I haven't heard this.
This is from the British Medical Journal. This is Dr. Kyle Sue at the Memorial University of St. John. Apparently some tests in mice shows that females had stronger immune responses. And they're basically going with the idea that testosterone acts, it's a hormone, but it acts also as an immunodepressant.
That sucks.
So there might actually, they're still working on it, but there might actually be something to the man flu. I feel feverish all of a sudden.
Oh my gosh.
You know, if women, you know, when they give birth, they almost know what it feels like to have a man flu.
Don't make me come over there with a sandal.
So we'll have to keep an eye on that. And to finish on a nice note, do you know what this weekend is?
Yeah. I saw it opening night.
It's so good.
Did you?
Hell yeah.
Jesus. Nerd cred.
What do you expect, Kevin?
And the best part is it wasn't even opening night. It was like the day before it technically came out.
Literally.
You didn't even invite me. Jeez.
No.
Yeah, my boss my boss went to see it at
We're
the
seeing
IMAX.
It again. We're seeing it again on Tuesday.
Ooh, we should go and see it in IMAX. Ooh,
we could see it three times.
I'm just going to wait until all the crowds bleed off, and then I'm going to go to the VIP.
We went to the theater an hour and a half early. We were the first ones in the theater.
I think I'm going to try this Sunday night when everybody's going to sleep.
I seem to recall, though, you know, when the Star Wars movies were coming out in the 80s, when the second and the third installment of Star Wars were out, Return of the Jedi, and hour and a half, there were people camped out 3 days before the theater opened.
The thing is, we're in Mission. We went to the... There's no one in Mission.
Abbotsford
if I was
full.
In Vancouver, or... If I went to the Abbotsford Theater,
there'd be people dressed up outside the theater.
There would be there were kids dressed up in Stormtrooper and Kylo Ren outfits. It was the most adorable thing ever.
No, there was a little girl. She had T-shirts too. Even if they didn't dress up fully, they had Star Wars.
Well, we had Star Wars T-shirts on.
We had matching C-3PO.
But did anybody show up as a Wookiee?
T-shirts.
No, nobody did.
See,
but it was an amazing movie.
They are not real Star Wars fans.
It was a really good movie. I thoroughly enjoyed every aspect of it.
Spoilers.
I didn't spoil it for you.
Luke dies.
Yeah.
Luke dies.
Totally.
Spoiler. Sorry. For other people who are just yelling at me now. No!
But Kevin, have you seen the movie?
No,
so
not yet.
You can't give spoilers.
So was there a lightsaber in the movie?
There's so many lightsaber battles. It's awesome.
They
and
are
space
phenomenal.
Battles. There's space battles.
And do the TIE fighters make that sound when they go by? Oh, yeah.
They
just
do.
Love that, man. That just all just... Gets me all excited.
It's such a good movie.
Oh, okay. Well, my dear Nancy, you got a Disney in history for us today?
I sure do. Let's just go with it. This day in history, as we all know, is a roundup of those people and events who illuminated the days between December the 11th and December the 17th. December the 11th was National Tango Day in Buenos Aires. That must have been something, right?
Yes. Tango's huge.
You can imagine everybody doing the tango and the music and the atmosphere. It must have been absolutely great.
Mm-hmm.
December the 12th was the first night of Hanukkah on our calendar.
Hanukkah.
And I'd like to wish a very happy Hanukkah to all
happy
of our
Hanukkah.
Friends that celebrate. It used to be a very minor holiday, but currently it's pretty much at the top of the charts in Jewish families. So, but a lot of people don't know from whence it came. So we'll do a little historical record here of Hanukkah and why it's assumed some importance. So it's an 8-day Jewish celebration, and it commemorates the rededication, which is the English word for Hanukkah. Hanukkah means rededication, and it during the 2nd century BC of the Second Temple in Jerusalem, where, according to legend, Jews had risen up against their Greek and Syrian oppressors in the Maccabean Revolt. Hanukkah begins every year on the 25th day of the Jewish month of Kislev, but because the Jewish calendar and our calendar are different, it comes at different times. Sometimes it's exactly when Christmas comes, sometimes a little before, not too many times afterward, but at this point it's December the 12th where it started. It's also called the Festival of Lights, and the holiday is celebrated with the lighting of the menorah, which is the candle holder. If anybody's seen the branches of the menorah, some are really beautiful, and they come in all sizes, all shapes, traditional, modern. But every Jewish home has a menorah to celebrate. Whether they actually use it or not, most Jewish homes have a menorah that may have been handed down from their grandparents as well. Always traditional foods, games, and gifts. So the events that inspired Hanukkah took place during a particularly turbulent phase of Jewish history, as though there wasn't a turbulent phase.
Jewish history turbulent?
I don't know. Yeah, well, that's a normal Jewish history. So around 200 BC, Judea, which is also known as the Land of Israel, came under the control of Antiochus III, the king of Syria, who allowed Jews initially to continue practicing their religion. His son, however, Antiochus IV, proved less benevolent, and ancient sources recount that he outlawed the Jewish religion and ordered the Jews to worship Greek gods, which didn't go over too well with the Jews, you can imagine. So in 168 BC, the Syrian soldiers descended upon Jerusalem, massacring thousands of people and desecrating the city's holy second temple by erecting an altar to Zeus and sacrificing pigs within its sacred walls. So obviously this didn't go over really well, and a Jewish priest named Mattathias and his five sons spearheaded a large-scale rebellion. And it was headed by Judah Maccabee, Judah meaning the hammer. So within 2 years, the Jews had successfully driven the Syrians out of Jerusalem, relying largely on guerrilla warfare tactics. Judah called on his father, on his followers, to cleanse the second temple, rebuild its altar, and light the menorah, which was the gold candelabrum, whose seven branches represented knowledge and creation and were meant to be kept burning every night. So here's where the roots of Hanukkah started. According to the Talmud, one of Judaism's most central texts, Judah Maccabee and the other Jews who took part in the rededication of the Second Temple witnessed what they believed to be a miracle. Even though there was only enough untainted olive oil to keep the menorah's candle burning for a single day, the flames continued flickering for 8 nights, leaving them time to find a fresh supply. And that wondrous event inspired the Jewish sages to proclaim a yearly 8-day festival, 7 nights, 8 days. And the first book of Maccabees tells another version of the story, describing an 8-day celebration that followed the rededication, but making no reference to the miracle of the oil. So that, in essence, is the Hanukkah.
So it could have been just one guy who didn't know his proportions correctly, right?
Yeah.
Oh, this... It's like that guy says, oh, I've got plenty of gas in the tank, and it's like below E, you know?
Oh my gosh, I know my car.
I know my car, yeah. I know my lap, I know my menorah.
So, the holiday was a very minor holiday for the Europeans. When they came over here and Christmas began to really become prominent, and this is the early 1900s, all the little Jewish kids said, wait a minute, we're being shortchanged. We want something too. And so Hanukkah grew in importance, and there were more celebrations created, so the Jewish kids could feel not totally assimilated because they're still Jewish, but at least more part of celebration at a time of the year when all their little Christian friends were decorating and singing songs and having Christmas Eve and lots of presents. So for Jewish kids, on each of the holidays, Jewish families, on each of the holidays, seven nights, another candle is added to the menorah. It starts out with just the Shemas candle, which is the leading candle in the middle. And then each night, the menorah burns down. The menorah, the candles burn down. Mm-hmm. They're lit right at sundown, and they're allowed to burn naturally. And they're generally, the menorah is generally put next to a window so you can share the light with others. And then for the next night, the middle candle, and then the first candle, and then the second, and so forth.
But you go left to right or right to left?
Left to right, because it's right to left, because that's how Hebrew is.
Oh.
So it goes the same direction that Hebrew is written. So Jews typically recite blessings during the ritual and display the menorah in the window, as I said. And then kids get generally a really good present the first night, and then six other little presents. So seven presents in all. So that's always a nice thing.
What a ripoff. Christmas, and you only got one present.
Yeah, I know.
And a stocking that nobody...
Yeah, but you got to realize the first present is the main present, and then it's like toothbrushes and socks.
Oh, okay.
But you still,
I don't feel
you
so bad now.
Hey, socks are the best present, okay?
Yeah, favorite foods are potato pancakes called latkes. If you've never had latkes, you're missing out on a really wonderful treat. The fact that they're fried in oil is symbolic, because it's oil. But latkes are wonderful with sour cream and or applesauce.
Would it be good. Blasphemous if I took a marshmallow and roasted it over the menorah?
Yeah.
Would that be like blasphemous?
Oh my gosh.
These days, why not?
Why not? I'm just trying to be part of it.
Why not? So from a religious perspective, it remains a relatively minor holiday with no restrictions on working, attending school, other activities. But they're lovely little games that the kids play with a dreidel, which is a top that spins, and then kids get prizes. So that's Hanukkah, and that's where...
And the tail on the donkey.
That's where that came from.
Gas showers.
Yeah.
Too soon? Sorry.
It was really great. So, moving on. This is really cute. Moving on to December the 13th, which was Acadian Remembrance Day.
Mm.
In all of the history sites, you know, Wikipedia or on this day or whatever, on December the 13th, if you look in there, which nobody is going to, there's this, on everyone, there's this little note. 1742, Willem K.H. Friso tests his mother's potatoes. There's nothing that indicates, there's no research that you can do to get any insight of why Willem tested his mother's potatoes. It's the weirdest thing in the world. If anyone knows, please let us know.
Willem, call your mom.
Call him up. Right, December the 15th, International Tea Day, and in 1964, Canada adopted the new national flag. With the maple leaf.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. December the 17th was the first man-powered, sustained, and controlled airplane flights by the Wright Brothers.
Nice.
Wright Brothers.
It's also a Christmas Carol Day. People can read the Christmas Carol to each other. And on December the 17th, Hollywood stuntman Stan Barrett blasted across a dry lake bed at California's Edward Air Force Base in a rocket and missile-powered car, becoming the first man to travel faster than the speed of sound.
Oh.
It wasn't recorded because the equipment...
see how fast he was going?
739.666 miles per hour. But then in 1997, that record was broken by Andy Green at 763 miles per hour. And that, dear listeners, those of you who are awake and listening, brings to a close another passing parade of interesting, mundane, unusual, and occasionally bizarre events and people that make up this day in history. So, happy Hanukkah.
That was wonderful.
I had to turn off your mic. You're actually snoring. I can't believe you.
I know. I feel so. I see. I feel so.
You know,
appreciated.
Nothing against your segment,
oh.
Nancy.
Oh, it's all again. It is. It's passive aggressive resistance.
It's a good thing you two are next to each other.
And jealousy. Oh. It's jealousy because Scott doesn't have a little segment of his own. Nah, 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 nah.
Hey, hey, hey! I could have. I'm just too busy.
You're sleeping.
Oh, thank you so much, Nancy.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. Let's go to our segment that we all love. Where's my music?
You know, it's not for a lack of coffee, guys.
Yeah, you get the coffee pot. Okay. You guys... You know the family values kind of guys? You know, that work for Trump's campaign?
Yep.
Well, whoa. What?
The family value guys, you know? The kind of guys that are working for Trump's campaign?
Okay.
Well, in March of this year,
if you say so.
there was a former state director for Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State Senator Ralph Shorty, 35, was caught by police in a motel room with a 17-year-old boy.
Seriously?
We met off Craigslist.
Okay, Craigslist is the worst place to meet people.
Yeah.
Like, Craigslist? Really?
The disgraced Republican official pleaded guilty to one count of child sex trafficking in a deal to settle four criminal charges. And they finally released a video of his arrest. This happened in March, right? But they just released a video.
I thought the cardinal rule for politicians is never get caught in bed with a live boy or a dead prostitute.
Oh.
A live prostitute isn't an issue. It's the dead ones.
So the video shows the police at the door of the hotel. Open up, you know, knock, knock, open up. So after seemingly getting dressed, Shorty answers the door in a religious t-shirt, which is printed with a Bible verse, which is Ephesians 5:22, which references women submitting to their husband.
Wow.
In addition, the phrase says also, now go make me a sandwich. This is what the guys were.
That's just
well,
like...
he's with a 17-year-old boy in a hotel room.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, he had to put his t-shirt back on to answer the door.
Yeah. They weren't just, like, hanging out and, like, chatting about Star Wars.
So he was facing life in prison. This is why he pleaded guilty to
child sex trafficking
instead. So he might have a 10-year mandatory minimum for that. So, goodbye, buddy. Have a good one.
Wow.
If he lived in Alabama, he could have run for a senator.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just...
It was a boy, not a girl.
Doesn't make any difference. It's Alabama. They would have found something to
excuse
him. As long
as he's got a Jesus thing on his shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, the devil made him do it. He can repent.
True. Very true.
I'm sure every one of us...
And Jesus forgives him.
Yes. Jesus is good. I'm not forgiving you for sleeping on the show. That's too loud? So I'm sure each one of us turns to the eternal wisdom of the Mormon Church when it comes to our sexuality.
I do.
Well, did you know that masturbation, according to the Mormons, will make you gay?
No comment.
Is there anything in the evangelical or the Mormon or Christian church, is there anything that won't make you gay other than going to church?
Well, I don't
wearing
know.
The magic
I think I want to ask the girls, is that the case? You know,
well,
you do
I'm,
have curly hair.
I'm not technically like just attracted to girls. I like everybody. So I don't.
Polyamorous.
Yeah. I don't know how like that fits into their idea because it's like, dude, is it like... You only masturbate a little bit? Or, like, I don't know.
Are you using a toy? Is it the color
exactly.
of the toy?
Exactly.
And then you're just a little bit gay if you just masturbate a little bit?
Like, is there a sliding scale?
There's a time limit.
How does this work?
You get 18 hours of gay per masturbation.
Oh, I understand what it is. If you're wearing blue and pink while you're masturbating.
Okay.
And growing a mustache? Because we talked about
could
that.
Could be,
oh, is growing a mustache in the Mormon, that's not allowed? Yeah.
So the 1981 guidebook released this week by the Transparency group Mormon Leaks provides some insight into what many young Mormons have been taught about sexual development and homosexuality over the years. Quote, early masturbation experiences introduces the individual to sexual thought, which may become habit-forming and reinforcing to homosexual interests. the guidebook claims. Self-masturbation, some people like to call it self-rape, which makes me laugh all the time.
What?
Yeah, whenever I do that, I put something in my drink first.
Oh, my God.
So I can self-rape later.
My God, I didn't want to do it. It was horrible. It was a horrible experience. It was forced.
Self-masturbation is almost always universal among those who engage in homosexual behavior and is a very difficult habit for most to overcome. The Mormons, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, well, goodness.
They're a great group of people.
Yeah. So, the funny thing is the pamphlet was created in 1981, right? Although they've become a bit more tolerant of this, they never actually came out and said, no, we're parting ways with that old way of thinking. They never actually abandoned that. All right. Yeah. Let's finish off with, remember we were talking about Roy Moore?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, when he lost, he claimed, it's not over. Republican Roy Moore refuses to concede the Alabama Senate race to Democrat Doug Jones because he's waiting on God.
Wow. Well, he's going to be waiting a while.
Yeah, apparently.
If he gets struck by lightning, would God be sending us all? Sending a message? You know,
could we count him getting bucked off Sassy, which is his horse, as like a message from God?
I want somebody to do that video. That video of Photoshop lightning just hitting Roy Moore and him on the ground.
That would be amazing.
There's your message from God. Yeah. So after a stunning loss in the Alabama...
And then Kayla would be standing over saying, no, but our lawyer was a Jew.
Oh my gosh.
After a stunning loss in the Alabama Senate race, Roy Moore is refusing to concede. Moore, who faces a credible accusation of sexual misconduct and child molestation during the campaign, addressed his supporters on Tuesday night after the Associated Press called the race for his Democratic opponent. So this is a transcript of those remarks. So he says, thank you, and the crowd's going, USA, USA. You know, I really want to thank you for coming tonight and realize that when the vote is in this close, that it's not over.
But it is.
And we still got to go by the rules about this recount provision.
Which are, it has to be within like half a point,
I
think.
I remember the last time they did a recount was...
It had to be, I think, half a point, and he went by like a point and a half or even more.
So it's not in that recount rule.
No, but that's what we were talking about earlier, is that I keep forgetting the name of the Secretary of State, who's such a, you know, horrible person. He's going to drag his feet on certification until the tax bill gets passed so that Doug Brown Jones. Never makes it. In order to cast a vote against the tax bill. So they'll delay it till the first
for sure.
of the year.
So he keeps on going and says, but we also know that God is always in control.
Always.
You know, the part of the thing, or part of the problem with this campaign is we've been painted in an unfavorable and unfaithful light. Really?
I can't imagine why.
So when things go in their favor, God did it. And when things aren't in their favor, even though God's in control, somebody was messing with it.
That's right. So, we've been put in a hole, he says, and it reminds me of a passage in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. That's what we've got to do. And he inclined it to me. heard my cry, brought us out of a horrible pit of clay, and set my feet on the rock, and established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth, a hymn praising to our God, blah, 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 blah. In other words, he's trying to turn this into a Christian crusade.
Yep.
He's trying to rally the evangelicals to make enough noise that, no, this is our God-chosen guy.
But just like Trump is.
He got thrown off the Supreme Court twice for making it a Christian crusade.
Well, that's because of the Illuminati.
Twice!
The fact that he got thrown off should tell you something, because, I mean, God didn't do it, did he?
No.
Because God should have kept him on there.
God wanted him to be a martyr, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, you're throwing dangerous words around there, Nancy.
Thank you so much, guys, for this. So we'll go to commercial break right now, and then when we come back, we'll be with Thomas Smith.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
opening
so
arguments and...
Serious inquiries only.
Thank you.
Used to be atheistly
speaking.
There you go.
So stay with us. We'll be right back. Part 2.
If your skepticism is socially conscious and doesn't take itself too seriously, you might like life, the universe, and everything else.
People like Ray Comfort are fond of saying, what use is half a wing, right? Have you ever seen a fucking penguin?
Life, the universe, and everything else. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and pretty much anywhere else.
I don't know, Zune? Is that still a thing?
Do you know where Saskatchewan is? Probably not. It's in Canada. If you do, you might know a city named Regina. In Regina, there's a studio. And in that studio, there are, at least once a month, a bunch of skeptical atheist geeks and goofballs who get together to do a podcast. We are the Brainstorm Crew, and we're trying to help spread a bit of reason and critical thinking while still having fun. Never taking things too seriously, but still not accepting everything we're told, we go through different topics, exploring them in depth, and often disagreeing. We try to stick to provable facts, and we never trust a myth. That's why we say we're woo-free since 2013. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spreaker under Brainstorm, or check out our website, brainstormblog.net. I can't promise you'll always agree with us, but I can promise you'll have fun listening to us.
It's also taught us, just in my lifetime, an enormous amount more about how little we know, because we have now an increasingly large idea of the fantastic expanse of the unknown. That's precisely the moment at which to say that skepticism is what's necessary. Inquiry, debate, doubt. Where's faith in this? Where's the usefulness of faith there? There's no use to it at all.
So joining us on the line is Thomas Smith, the host of Serious Inquiries Only and Opening Argument. He's a snappy dresser and a snazzy dancer. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us at Left of the Valley.
Those last things are definitely not.
Don't feel too bad. I use that on everybody.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, then, all right. Then I'll just blend in with everyone else.
Yeah.
I'll just...
you'll set yourself
I'm
apart.
Also all those things.
Thomas, you've made quite a name for yourself down south in the States. Up here in Canada, you might not be as well known. Would you be so kind to give us a Reader's Digest version of who Thomas Smith is?
I don't know. You guys got a lot of shitlords up there. I feel like I'm I'm well known among the shitlord Canadian community.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like
really?
You got like a shitlord magic player who was banned for life for being a shitlord. Yep. You got some people. But anyway, what was the question?
Hold on a second. Hold on. Let's maybe explain to some of our audience that might not know. What do you mean by shitlord? Because that's a fairly new term to me too. Explain
really?
That. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad that's a new term. But I don't know who came up with it, but the shitlords appropriated it eventually. I don't know if it was originally used as an insult or not, but they call themselves shitlords because it's this online attitude that nothing is kind of too mean or too horrible to say online. You can just say all the worst things you want to people, and it's funny. And it's a attitude that has... unfortunately infiltrated the atheist movement. And
are you saying Canadians are doing this?
There are some. It's weird. It seems to be.
It's how we get our anger out sometimes. It also helps that most people that do it are doing it anonymously, so you don't have that feeling of, this is going to have repercussions on my own life.
Right.
Fair enough. So let's get back to interview, I guess. So give us a brief introduction as to who Thomas Smith is, if you'd be so kind, sir.
Oh, I'm a podcaster, I'm a podcaster who was somehow lucky enough to be able to do it for my job. I got into it in 2010. reading the Bible on a podcast and going through it, and eventually I branched off to other stuff. And I just every day I feel like my luck's going to run out, and everyone's going to be like, "All right, we're done. we're done listening to your podcast." But for now, it's holding out despite Patreon's best efforts.
Yep.
Still able to do it for a living. So that's it's amazing. But I've got opening arguments. It's a show with Andrew Torres, a lawyer that I think has been really helpful in today's topsy-turvy world of just telling us what exactly, you know, can happen legally and can't, and then things that shouldn't happen that and just do because no one does anything about it. That's the biggest one these days. That's me, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had the pleasure of having Andrew on the show about a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was quite the gentleman.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He was quite the gentleman. So what were the origins of the show, Serious Inquiries Only and Opening Arguments? How did you start that? What was you saw the need for that?
No, there's definitely no need for it. But there's the world. I looked at the world and I said it needs another podcast. That's the that's what it needs. That was more along the lines of, so I had the Bible show, and I was just so tired of being limited to the Bible because it's so bad and it's so boring and long.
Yep.
And
I think I made it to Ruth listening to that podcast, and I just kind of gave up.
I don't recommend it. Like, all people tell me, like, I just listened to the whole thing. I'm like, why did you do that? Like, I never told anyone to listen to it. Like, I started it because the beginning, it's all zany. It's Adam and Eve. And that's, you know.
That's about as far as you should go with it, too.
You lost it.
That's three sentences. Like, it's nothing. People don't realize that if they haven't read it. But so then after all that wacky stuff that's so funny, that was like two episodes, and then it's just garbage. And but I made a commitment, and I eventually followed through on it. But again, I don't recommend anyone listen to it. Don't listen to that show. And I started a new show at a certain point called Atheistically Speaking, because I just wanted to have, like, you know, just to be able to talk about whatever I wanted. And to be able to comment on stuff on, you know, either it meant to be like a meta atheism thing, which is like find stuff that atheists kind of disagree with each other and, you know, talk about it, have those debates. And eventually I didn't want to have atheism in the name anymore because I had some people turn me down as guests that would have been really good guests. And frankly, I wasn't really that interested in talking about atheism as much, because there's just a lot more going on these days. And I don't know. I want to talk about anything. I totally did not want to talk about it, but I wanted to be able to talk about whatever I want. And then I started going through puberty and my voice started cracking. So that had vast implications on my podcasting career. But So now I changed it to Serious Inquiries Only. And I'm just doing, you know, news, politics, commentary, philosophy, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. You seem to have developed quite a reputation as an excellent interviewer, by the way. Do you have any formal training in that, or that's just natural talent?
I think that's just, I don't know what that is, because I don't really think that's true. I think that I had some people say that, and then it became a meme, and then other people like saying it. So it was, I think that's more.
Oh, I like that. I don't know. That works.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I don't know who thought of that. I've had my moments, but I would say that the biggest, I guess, if I were to try to give a any sort of advice, it would be that the only way to do a good interview is to be interested and curious about what you're interviewing. You know, I mean, if you're interviewing someone on a book or so, you know, make sure you. It's impossible to read every single book of everyone that you do, but make sure you know enough to think of questions that, you know, that listeners would have. Yeah. Or maybe if they, even better yet, ones that they wouldn't necessarily think of, but that they would find interesting. I don't know that I ever do that, but that's certainly a goal. I don't know. I think that, not every interview is gold. Like, it's not as though you know, there's sometimes where the interviewee, you know, it doesn't always work out. And you have to be ready for that, and you have to try to drive it. You know, you can't. I don't. That's just how I feel. Other people could take a different tact, where if their interviewee sucks, you just blame them and kind of just stop the interview. I want no offense if you guys want to do that with me. That's okay.
No, not at all, not at all. You know, but I must say, you know, for a gentleman that has a reputation of being a very good interviewer with no feet, I think you're doing a fantastic job.
I don't know how that factors in. Do most interviewers use their feet a lot? Is that a...
No, but I mean, hey, you know, we like to support people that in difficult situations too. So, something a bit more serious. Thomas, you sort of have your finger on the pulse of a lot of things that happens in the United States. What do you feel the status of atheism is right now in your country?
I feel like it's... There are a lot of people who talk about, you know, oh, the nuns, the N-O-N-E's are bigger than ever. Mm-hmm. And that might be true, but I actually don't necessarily think that means they're atheists. I think that people are walking away from organized religion. But I actually think – I just saw a poll yesterday, I think, that, you know, still only 8% of people here will actually say – it was like 8 or 9% – will actually say they don't believe in God. Like, everybody else is like, well, I believe in something, but I just don't want to go to church. You know, they're just like lazy, which I think is almost worse. Like, if you really do believe in it, aren't you just, if you don't go to church, you're just lazy and you're wrong about, like, I feel like if you believe in it, you should definitely go. But I think that for me, it's kind of taken a back seat, because what I see is the biggest problem right now. And I used to think that, you know, religion, God versus atheism, all that was a very critical and important divide. But I think the bigger divide is there are people who just do not have a good like epistemology in terms of where they're getting their facts from. They don't have a good filter. They don't have good methodology. There is such a huge problem of fake news, and it crosses over religion.
Yeah,
there are plenty of atheists who are right there. It's, you know, I've battled a few of them. There are plenty of atheists who are right there buying into Russian fake news, buying into Trump's fake news, buying into all this stuff. And I think that's a bigger problem. Like, I have way more in common right now with a Christian Republican who is a never Trumper than I do with, you know, Carl Sargon of Akkad. I don't care that he might be an atheist. It's the things he believes and the things he spouts are far more harmful, I think, than most forms of Christianity. Now, of course, I'm still against, you know, the child abusey, terrible nonsense versions of religion. But if religion is just kind of a background thing in someone's life, that's, to me, less important than if they're actively spreading just complete conspiracy theory nonsense online. I think that's having a huge impact on our politics and society here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, especially in view of the political situation in the U.S. I mean, for a while there, it seemed that just before the election with Trump, it seemed like the evangelical voice was actually shutting down. And all of a sudden, with Trump, there was a resurgence of it.
That's true. I think that's worth pointing out. You're right. I don't give them enough shit for that. I should give them more shit for that. They very just hypocritically have decided that, like, Trump is their guy. And have you seen the polls that were like in 2014, the question of, is it okay to elect someone that, you know, might have questionable character or something that, or might have done things, but, you know, but can they still do their job? And evangelicals were like, you know, 10%. And then 2016, when Trump was being elected, it shot up to like 70%. It's the most ridiculous change you've ever seen. Just an absolute, you know, hypocritical just turn. Oh no, that now it's fine. Now it's fine to elect now someone that it's who has our guy. Total, yeah, it's questionable moral judgment because they were so used to being the holier than thou. You know, we can't elect anyone because they're so used to like only someone who professes deep Christianity and sticks to moral value and all that. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but with Trump, it was just like, no, never mind. It's fine. We can do it. We can do whatever we want. Mm-hmm. We can elect anyone. Doesn't matter. Just instantly. So it is true that you know, that is incredibly hypocritical. And they really need to get shit every day for that.
I just want to change
it. She's a huge fan, by the way.
I am a very big fan.
And what are your Patreon?
Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. With the different podcasts you do, I know one of the things that is a common episode like that you do is like deep dives into things. And I was really curious, what's your favorite like deep dive that you've done so far?
Oh, man. I really love going over the Trump's accomplishments. That was a brief Twitter. I mean, that's
a short episode.
Just more recent. What's that?
That must have been a short episode.
No, very satirical.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, you're right. It was a long episode because there were like 27 or 8 claims. And so I did them in about 3 parts. And it was so great because these people, you know, who are making these claims, they're totally, you know, like the Republicans in that, especially the Trump Republicans in this country, they're all about like, oh, the pussification of this country.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. They have accomplishments listed like, well, he mentioned that he was talking about changing NAFTA. It's like, yep. that's your accomplishment. He like talked with someone about something. Like they would ever count that as an accomplishment for Obama? Or yep. Oh well,
could you imagine
somebody.
Yep. Going through Obama's 8 years and having the same criteria?
The bar is low.
And like yeah. Counting how many accomplishments Obama did.
That's a good point. Yeah, I should have. That's a excellent point. Yeah, would have been. I could have covered like a month. Yep. And he would have more. Yeah.
So agree with me or disagree with me. As a Canadian, we always have an eye on what goes on in the States. Seems to me there was a time where the church and its influence was one of those things that they kept to the holier-than-thou people that were maybe unattainable, unrealistically unattainable, until that new conservative movement that came in with Ronald Reagan. And then the church went full on, full hypocrisy. Now it was just about getting in there with power absolutely no matter what. Do you feel that was the same? Do you concur with my analysis on this? Or do you think?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't around back then. I don't have a good sense of how the church interacted. I'm trying to think. How did the church interact with? Well, I mean, let's see. There was the whole JFK. Can he still do his job while being
Catholic.
A Catholic thing? Mm-hmm. There was the whole. I think that. I mean, it really. I'm sure it would have had something to do with the Southern strategy because before. You know, before that whole mess, it wasn't so ideologically defined. I mean, there's still to this day, I mean, it's like I said a minute ago, it's still only 89% of people who say they don't believe in God. So, yeah. I mean, both sides are religious. Like Democrats are religious. They're just usually a different kind. There's usually like, oh, yeah, I'm Christian, but I don't really care what anyone does. And Republicans tend to be the. You know, I'm Christian and you can't have abortion and you can't do this and you can't do that. And also I want to be able to deny service to anyone who disagrees with me and all this just totally un-American and anti-freedom stuff. But I'm not sure when that began to really coalesce. I think it's just gotten worse and worse as Fox News came about in the early to mid 90s. I think that was what, you know,
yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a genesis, but I think it's just made it worse and worse because it's just allowed these people to kind of coalesce and reinforce and echo their own ridiculous things. And it's now it's just this toxic soup.
Yeah.
I think the noticeable coalescence was when Newt Gingrich came in with the contract with America. And I think that emboldened a lot of Christians to be able to voice their politics and religion as though they were fused. And from that, then the Tea Party coming out of that movement, and then, you know, I'm trying to think of the word, but the acceptance by a lot of people for that point of view, it just grew from that. But personally, right or wrong, I just tend to feel that contract with America was probably a defining moment in conservative politics.
I think you're totally right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're the guest.
I didn't hear the last part, but I think you're totally right. And that was more as a result of conservative radio, because it predated Fox News. Fox News kind of launched right after that.
I think when Rush Limbaugh be on radio, and Roger Ailes took over his management and getting into a lot of the cities where they had conservative radio and they didn't have any liberal radio to combat it. I think the rise of Rush Limbaugh also had a lot to do, although he's not overtly, you know, evangelical and religious, but his views kind of dovetailed into a lot of what his listeners wanted to believe and hear at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I think he had a big part in it, and you know, now we've gotten, I think it's ever since then, so that would have been 1994 when the Republicans, you know, had that bloodbath, and I feel like ever since then, that's the new normal. Like 2 years into an administration, the other party just decimates the election, you know, just totally takes over again. And it really makes me nervous, because I feel like that is going to happen. Jeez, excuse me. I feel like that is going to happen in 2018. I think there is going to be a resurgence in the Democratic Party. Absolutely. But then I worry, like, well, then is it just going to be the next thing? It's just going to be we get a Democrat in office in the presidency in, I think, 2020 it will happen. But say we do that, will it just be the same thing where then, you know, Democrats kind of relax and then Republicans take everything back again in 2022 and we just have to keep doing this over and over and over? Because with the exception of, it didn't happen in Bush's first term because I think of 9/11 and, you know, having the benefit of being at war and, you know, it took a little while. But eventually, Democrats just totally wiped everything out later in, like, I think 2006. And I just wonder, though, like, is that the pattern? And is it just a result of being so wildly opposed to each other, like so partisan that it just looks like you win a presidency, you know, like one party wins a presidency, then they feel like, okay, well, we could finally, we've killed the other party. Then they sort of relax a little bit, because it's all on a razor's edge. I mean, these elections are all very close. And so they relax a little bit. And then the other party, because, again, of this wild animosity, they feel like, okay, we're going to die because of the, you know, like this president, which I think is very justifiable right now. But Republicans feel that same way, and they were wrong. Don't get me wrong. They were wrong when they felt that way about Obama. But I just worry that is the new normal now. It's just going to be election and then backlash, and then backlash to the backlash, and then backlash. Like, it just feels
extreme polarization.
So, here in Canada, that's what happens all the time. So I just figured that was the norm anyway.
Well, there are times I really get depressed about it, but there are times I have some optimism because of what's happening with women being able to achieve more and get elected, with the younger generation coming up to take the place of all of the old white guys who have been in control for such a long time on both sides. So I feel that there, and with the people who that were for Bernie Sanders and who feel as though they want a more democratic government where people on both sides have a chance to form coalitions and to get things done. So I have some hope that between the women and those of the younger generation that maybe things will start to improve, but it'll be a long haul. I'm saying over maybe 10 years, you know, it might be a bitter government, but no telling. It just depends on how much damage is done, you know, at the end of Trump's term and what it takes to repair.
How much damage has been done?
Yeah, a lot.
So I guess the question I should ask is, when it comes to and the political status right now in the States, of course, and us being atheists, when you look at the future, how optimistic are you about the future of atheism in the States?
Atheism, I mean, I guess you'd have to define optimism, you know, like what is an optimistic outlook. I anticipate more and more people not being not just becoming nuns, like not caring about organized religion, because organized religion is, frankly, it's really boring. And in today's world, there's just so much more going on. I think that it made sense back in the day where it's like, well, if you're not in church, then you're plowing things and doing all that. But I think nowadays it's like people just don't want to go to church.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that, you know, I'm not one of those people, one of those atheists who think that, oh, we'll get rid of it. Like, we'll, you know, or even significantly. I think that for my entire lifetime, the majority of people are going to be religious, and or at least going to believe in God in this country. And who knows? Like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that'll change. But that's what I feel. But I don't know that, you know, I think that atheism, the reason I care more about politics right now is what really matters is in terms of like the battle, in terms of this fight, is religion and government.
Yeah.
And Republicans do not have any regard for the separation of church and state at all.
That's a scary concept, too.
Well, and then you have a lot of Republicans who don't even think that that should be a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I have an aunt who's in the States, and she doesn't think there should be a separation of church and state. And it's like, are you insane?
Wow.
Obviously, yeah, she's Christian.
Totally common.
What happens?
It's totally common. What they do is they do this thing where, like, well, the literal words separation of church and state don't appear in the Constitution, because, and that's true, but that's just not how things work. Like,
originally, the Constitution was written as a what do you call it? It was a non-religious document. It was secular. Right? The Constitution was originally secular. It didn't address religion because it had no place to.
Well, it did build a wall of separation, but that was just how Jefferson described it in a letter, and that's where the term separation of church or wall of separation came from. It's not literally in the document, but still, there's the free exercise clause, there's the establishment clause, it is all there. It just doesn't. That's their Tea Party bullshit argument now. And the Tea Party's kind of dead, more or less, but that was the argument back then, and it might have a different name, but it still exists, which is the literal words aren't there. And not only that, if not that argument, there's still just a blindness to it. Like, there's a complete blindness to what it means to incorporate religion into government, and the only way they ever see it is if the Church of Satan or whatever comes along and says, "Oh, this is the law you want? Okay, cool. We'll have our Satan church then teach to your kids or whatever the law is." Like, wait, hold on. We didn't want that. And then it's like, yeah, exactly. You don't want one religion imposing their will on the people.
Well done,
like,
Church of Satan.
That's the whole point. So it's very frustrating. Or if you say, like, you know, if you change God with Allah, like in a given law that they propose, you know, it's like, okay, so is that okay? And they're like, well, obviously not. Like, don't you get it? It's not okay. That's why it should not just not be there. And that's not even like an atheist thing, you know? Like, other denominations benefit from not having to have some one given denomination dominate everything.
Absolutely. So you yourself, obviously, you're very active in the community and you do a lot of good work, and we thank you for that. But what piece of advice would you give to some of us that are a bit too apathetic to do something about the situation?
Would you give
Well, I reject the premise of your question. I definitely don't think I'm doing much in those terms. I think that there are a lot of people doing a lot more in terms of actual activism. I've always been more of like an ideas person. I just I just love discussing ideas and thinking through them. But I will say that I think the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Now, again, that's an American thing.
Awesome.
I don't know that there's any Canadian presence for that. Is there? I don't think so.
Actually, there is. I think there's chapter. Okay. I think there's a chapter
not the freedom.
In Ottawa.
Oh, the Freedom
really?
From Religion?
I think so.
Really? Okay, I know there is Recovering From Religion. There is. Yeah. It's gone international, but I didn't know if the FFRF.
They probably don't have as much work up here.
For my American listeners, that would be like, I mean, really, we just spoke to Andrew Seidel. We have him on Opening Arguments from time to time, and like, I love the work he's doing. I just think it's, in terms of, and again, it just depends on what you want to prioritize, because honestly, if you're just looking to help people, what I do is I go to like givewell.org and I just look like, okay, for my dollars, how many lives can I save? And it's not going to be any Christian thing. It's not going to be any atheist thing. It's going to be, we need to give some mosquito nets to somebody in some place that you don't know. Like if you're looking to do like the most raw good, but it's fun. We don't really operate like that. And for better or worse, I think there's upsides and downsides. But I think that what, the scathing atheist guys do with Modest Needs, I think that's actually a really good charity as well. There's a lot of good charity work people do. I never feel like I can contribute to that. I mean, I contribute money to it, but I've never done like a charity drive myself, because for some reason I just don't feel like I have enough people to do that. I don't know why. I don't know what reason it is. I just always feel like it'll go flat and like no one will donate and then it'll be an embarrassment. But I never do it. But other people do a lot of good charity stuff and I just donate money to it. I usually donate a ton and get Eli to say something. But this time of the year, I'm blown away by how generous everybody is. Atheists, I know Christians too, but unfortunately a lot of their charities are bullshit and actually proselytize to people. But there's, people are really good. A lot of people are really generous at this time of year, and they'll donate a ton to just help people out. And it is really cool. And so I would recommend, like GiveWell or, if you're worried about specific issues like Freedom From Religion Foundation in this day and age for Americans is really crucial because – I think the latest thing that Andrew Seidel, this is a little, I guess, hint into Tuesday's episode, but he came on and talked a bit about they're trying to not have Trump's nominees go through, because he's nominating judges that are just nobodies.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I am more qualified from just hosting Opening Arguments to be a judge than these people. And it's really good work that they do. So I donate to that. I donate to some other things. But I'm not one of those cool people who's like arranged a charity drive, because I always just feel too self-conscious about it.
That's awesome. Well, Thomas, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. But the mic is all yours, my friend. Be shameless. Go ahead. Plug yourself. Give it
all. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate the invitation. And yeah, SiriusPod.com if people want to check it out. And Opening Arguments, you just search either of those shows on whatever your podcasty thingy is, and that's good for me. I really appreciate you guys inviting me,
and also
12 or 15 people on your show that can
but
I'll be a part of it.
I'm gonna shamelessly push another of your podcasts that's really interesting. If you wanna, I know you do Comedy Shoeshine, which isn't anything political really or atheist. It's just kind of you guys shooting the shit, which is really fun.
Right. Well, I'm glad if you enjoyed, that's good. I don't usually push that one as much because like it's literally just me and my brother joking.
Yep. But hey, in the world right
some
now,
people love it.
Need
I think
that.
It's a love hate thing. It's either you will not get it, or if the people who do are like hardcore fans, it's really funny.
Can't believe you haven't shown this to me yet, Christina.
Yeah, there's a lot of podcasts.
She's a total
I haven't
groupie,
shown you.
Obviously.
I know.
She's a total groupie.
Yeah, but that's sort of our like. It's sort of a darker humor in a way, because we just I don't know. We talk about Just what it's like to be alive in this day and age, really,
awesome.
in a like, and to to be depressed, to have certain I don't know, there's a lot we talk about, but we're both two depressed people, and he's my brother's got a lot of anxiety and stuff, and it's like Seinfeld but a little darker.
That's probably why I enjoy it, because I also have depression and anxiety.
Yeah. It's but it's also just random stuff too. Like, it's just I love that show, but again, I feel like it's more of a selfish endeavor. So I feel like my other ones are more informative for people.
So the shows are Serious Inquiries Only, Opening Argument, and Comedy Shoeshine. I highly recommend you watch them all. Thomas, thank you so much for being with us on the show. But before I let you go, I have to get you to say, "Hi, I'm Thomas Smith of Serious Inquiries Only, and I took a left at the Valley."
Hi, I'm Thomas Smith of Serious Inquiries Only, and I took a left at the Valley.
Where the hell?
And that was Thomas Smith of Serious Inquiries Woo-hoo. Only. What a fantastic interview, guy! That guy.
He's a really enjoyable really
nice,
to talk with.
What a really nice person, yeah.
And contrary to what he says, he does a lot of good work.
Yeah,
for the community.
There's a lot
just
of
to show by himself
that I didn't know before listening to both of his podcasts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like there's so much stuff that he goes into that I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. Thank you.
No, exactly. So if
and
you're,
I didn't have to watch The Red Pill because he broke it down. I didn't want to watch that movie.
I'm not even sure with that. I haven't seen that thing either. So.
The Red Pill? It's to do with feminism.
Okay, that's cool.
Good guess.
And men's rights activists and how feminism sucks. And I'm like, nope, not watching it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show, guys, today. And thank you to Thomas Smith, our guest. You can follow us at leftofthevalley.com. You can follow us at on Facebook, like you are right now, hopefully watching. Or you can follow us on Twitter at LETV Podcast. You can send us an email, leftatvalley@outlook.com. Or you can follow our solo sister show, So You Think You're a Skeptic, but our friend Tyler, that's usually on Facebook Live as well. You look like you want to say something.
I was going to say, thank you for putting up with us.
I don't have much of a choice. The show is really boring.
Listen, thank you. Kevin?
What?
Just thank you for letting me get my nap in.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you watch the show over and over, you might be able to hear randomly. So go find it. Easter egg, guys. Go find it.
This was our last interview of the year. Next week, we'll have our Christmas special.
It's almost sad.
We'll try to make it nice, and we'll have a bit of some of the history of Christmas and some of the nice positive stories about Christmas, and we'll try to make it jolly, holly, whatever.
Are we going to have eggnog?
I still have eggnog.
Is it the chocolate eggnog?
It's the chocolate eggnog.
Gross.
No, quit.
I don't like chocolate.
They're never
it's
happy.
So good.
No, I give them cookies, coffee, and eggnog. They're not happy.
I don't like mint.
There's no, this no is why I drink. Some people.
Nope.
No please. And for the end of the year, we're also going to close with our best of 2017. So I'm just going to leave it there.
Our choices.
We're working on a whole bunch of stuff for next year. So
it's going to be fun.
It is.
And go read Harry Potter, guys.
It's always
Harry
fun. Potter.
Go read it.
Definitely. I've read them.
You all of, like, seriously?
Seriously. I bought them for my son.
That's awesome. Which one's your favorite?
My favorite?
Yeah.
No, out of here.
This used to be a nice atheist show.
Hey, Harry Potter is a great atheist book, okay?
Honestly?
It's proven that your children will become less racist if they read it.
Thank you, guys.
I think that my son, when he got the first
the third's
book,
the best.
I read the first book. The first book was the best for me.
Third's the best.
Guys, I think Kevin wants to actually end the show now.
Yes.
But we're not ready yet.
No.
Until next time. Just call it faith and unsubstantiated claims. That's something to be ashamed. I'm an atheist. I'm an atheist. Now let me take a sec, don't mean to sound so hateful, but I swear to God, pun intended, I find it disgraceful. The thousands of children are raped by priests, and since they're holy men of God, they get away scot-free. And the Pope does his very best to keep it on the hush, don't wanna affect business, he loves money too much. We know that they love the kids, but how the fuck can we protect them while they planning to molest them? We teaching them to respect them. Respect them. Fuck that. The system is broke down, working backwards, and the only action or tactic I plan to practice now is to attack them. The parties of God's hands are bloodstained, millions of murders by believers, and they're all in God's name.
let me take a sec. Don't mean to sound so hateful, but I swear to God, pun intended, I find it disgraceful that many atheists are told to be quiet. You're not alone, speak your mind, time to let it be known. I'm proud to be an atheist, a skeptic, a non-believer, an infidel, a heathen. I call it how I see it. I say it's ignorance and you just call it faith. And unsubstantiated claims, that's something to be ashamed. I'm an atheist.
Atheist.